We will debate the policy, not the person. We will focus on the issues and not personalize debate or use other tactics that divert attention from the issue. So with that, I would like to introduce our moderator from the League of Women Voters of San Luis Obispo County, Mary Beth Armstrong.
Thank you. And thanks to South County Chambers, we have a candidate forum this evening. The forum is being recorded and will be available on the websites and social media channels of the League of Women Voters and South County Chambers of Commerce. As Cynthia said, my name is Mary Beth Armstrong, and I will be your moderator this evening, and Jocelyn Brennan from South County Chambers is our host. And of course, I have many colleagues from the League of Women Voters who have contributed to the smooth functioning of this forum. I'm pleased to introduce our candidates at this time in alphabetical order. There are two candidates for mayor, Dan Shadwell and Ed Waggy. For city council, we have five candidates, Marcia Guthrie, Eric Howell, Deborah Lossing, Scott Newton, and James Pritchard. Each candidate will have 2 minutes for their opening statement and 1 minute to answer questions. Our timer will let the speakers know when they have 30 seconds remaining and when they must stop. If you see the stop sign mid-sentence, you can complete that sentence. The order in which candidates answer questions was chosen with a random number generator ahead of time, and that order rotates throughout the evening. Questions were submitted in advance to the League of Women Voters, and we've received many excellent questions and will ask as many as time permits. Opening statements will be in the following order: Ed Waggy, Dan Shadwell, James Pritchard, Marcia Guthrie, Scott Newton, Eric Howell, and Deborah Lossing. Mr. Waggy will begin his opening statements momentarily. Then, Mr. Shadwell, you will follow. So you may unmute your microphone now, but please wait for your name to be called before speaking. Mr. Waggy, you may begin.
Thank you very much. I want to thank the League and the South County Chamber for hosting this forum this evening. I've been the mayor for 4 years and the council before that. My vision for Pismo Beach has been to make it livable, healthy, and safe. When I first ran for office, the residents wanted us to fix up the city, especially the downtown. We now have a family-friendly downtown with a new pier plaza, and many other improvements. We also listened to the residents of Shell Beach, and they wanted a new Shell Beach streetscape, especially Shell Beach Improvement Group. They wanted underground utilities, a bike pedestrian path, and they wanted to make it attractive, and we've done that. I supported Pismo Preserve. We provided critical funding for that beautiful area. Now we have it's open, and it's a great recreational opportunities for families. We fixed up the park, such as Dinosaur Caves Park, with new playground equipment, new parking. We also completed several bluff erosion projects with access to the beach. We've completed many paving projects. There's much more to do. I'm leading the effort to build a new fire station to improve response times to make our city safer. I'm leading the effort on Central Coast Blue, a water recycling program to help us survive the next drought. I'm a leader in fire safety with service on the County Fire Safe Council, and I've been endorsed by the Cal Fire firefighters. I'm a strong advocate for Highway 101 Third Lane to reduce traffic congestion. I'm a proud of our award-winning police department and our outstanding fire department. As mayor, I work with our council members, the public, in a collegial and respectful manner. And I try to gain consensus to get the best possible outcome for our residents. And I ask for your vote in November so I can continue to serve this beautiful city. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Shadwell, you're up.
All right. Well, good evening, and thanks to the Chamber and the League for sponsoring this forum, and thanks to everyone for tuning in tonight. I agreed to run for mayor after friends and neighbors asked me to run. Some are small business owners who have struggled to get help from the current mayor and city government to keep their doors open during the pandemic and to keep their employees working. Others are neighbors who have reached out to the mayor and city government on any number of issues, but still have not received the help that they feel they need. Almost to a person, they have said that when they approach the city for help, they've heard the same thing. Well, if we do that for you, then we have to do that for everyone. Yes, that is exactly the point, my feeling is. And we are in a time of crisis, medical and economic, and this is the time for leadership, not red tape. My campaign is focused on three core ideas: vision, communication, and responsiveness. A vision for the future and how we can keep Pismo's unique culture front and center and put our residents first. Second, communication. I want to hear from you, and I want to make sure that your voice is heard and included in the decision-making process. And third, responsiveness. When our residents are hurting or need help, I'll make sure that we're acting quickly, not waiting weeks or months to respond. The mayor has been in office for years now, but today we're still dealing with some of the same old problems: traffic snarls, parking shortages, trash on our streets and beaches, and if anything, those problems are worse today than when he took office. Well, I want to fix that. I don't pretend to have all the answers, but I've heard broad support for many of the ideas that we've been talking about, including regular trolley service with multiple pickup and drop-off points, serving Shell Beach, the Pismo Preserve, and the downtown areas. I also want to extend our bicycle path to connect to the Bob Jones Trail in San Luis Obispo, as well as to the south, to Grover Beach and the Oceano Dunes. Just those two things will get a lot of folks out of their cars, and I think go a long way in decreasing our traffic and parking problems. Again, I really appreciate the opportunity to share my ideas and to answer your questions. And again, thank you to this forum, to the League, and to the South County Chamber.
Thank you. Mr. Pritchard, your opening remarks, please. You're muted, sir.
Hi, sorry. Thank you for having me here. My name is James Pritchard, and I'm running for Pismo City Council to draw attention to the fact that many people who live in our residential neighborhoods are experiencing quality of life issues. These issues are the results of the negative side of tourism and lack of maintenance on some streets. Some issues include speeding cars, noise, lack of respect for residents. Some residents don't like going to their own downtown, despite it being a so-called family-friendly downtown. Some people hesitate at doing that. The balance between tourists and residents has tilted in favor of the tourists. We need to shift it back to neighborhood residents and put residents first. That's the platform that I'm running on, to put residents first. The hotels have the LBID, businesses have the Chamber of Commerce. Imagine a city council and city government as a customer service entity with residents as the clients. When residents' clients come to see you, they don't care so much what you've done in the past. They want to know what you will do for them in the future. They want the right of habitability without constant nuisances. They want a city council that will put residents first when considering the future direction of the city. If I'm elected, I will put residents first. If I'm not elected, I hope that my campaign has raised the level of awareness of what neighborhood residents would like to have in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Guthrie?
Good evening. I'd like to thank the South County Chamber of Commerce and the League of Women Voters for hosting this forum tonight. My name is Marcia Guthrie. I'm a 24-year resident of Pismo Beach and a small business owner with an office on Price Street. I have served on the Pismo Beach City Council for the last 4 years, which was preceded by 10 years of activism, resulting in the voters approving our citizen-based initiative in 2014, giving the residents a voice in what happens in this area of the city. I have not wavered in my commitment to giving voice to residents and have worked collectively with other council members to accomplish many important city goals during my term. Shell Beach design guidelines, Shell Beach streetscape, rebuilding our iconic pier, enlarging and improving our pier plaza, supporting the Pismo Preserve, rebuilding of the Bellow Street Bridge, joining Monterey Community Power, which is going to save our residents energy costs, using clean energy renewable bonds to replace our dated heating and cooling system and install in the city hall, and installing solar panels in the city yard, which has already saved costs to the city. My priorities going forward are completing our general plan and local coastal plan update, which reflects our community vision and will be a roadmap for future city councils. Central Coast Blue wastewater treatment plant will recapture the treated water that currently is discarded in the ocean and injected into our groundwater basin to help protect it. Downtown parking solutions are about the top of the list on this. We're nearing the time where we have to figure that out. And I'd also like to work on updating our police and fire buildings, facilities. As a council member, resident, and small business owner, I am passionate about protecting our quality of life and have the tenacity to get things done. I would be honored to continue serving you on the City Council. I am Marcia Guthrie, and I would appreciate your vote on November 3rd. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Newton?
Good evening, and thank you everyone for this great opportunity tonight. I'm running for City Council because I have the passion, the dedication, and love for our city. My wife and I are raising our 4 children here, and we can't imagine living anywhere else. I want our city to be the best it can be, not just for us, but for our future generations. The problem, however, is that the quality of life here is slowly eroding, and it is time for us to turn things around. It is time to address issues such as traffic congestion, the neglect of our neighborhoods, and the trashing of our city and beaches. It's time to invest in and repair the aging roads in our neighborhoods, create walking and bike paths, enhance and provide better facilities for our youth, and let our residents know that they come first. I ask that you let me put my 25 years plus as a small business owner to work for you. I will use my experience in distribution, construction, and business management to make our city run with efficiency and financial accountability. Together, we can make Pismo Beach an even better place to call home. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Howell.
Thank you. Well, first and foremost, I too would like to thank the Chambers of Commerce and the League of Women Voters for hosting this forum tonight. This is important, and voters need to be educated and informed about what the city government is doing. And I so appreciate this. And I'd especially like to thank the people of Pismo Beach for their vote of confidence 8 years ago in electing me to the City Council. We've heard all of the accomplishments of the current council that together I'll go down the list again, as Councilmember Guthrie and Mayor Waggie have done, is we have a new Pismo Pier. We have a new plaza. We have new restrooms. We have the opening of the Pismo Preserve. We're working on a recycled water project, and we can go down the list. This has been a very successful term with the City Council. But I agree with Mr. Pritchard to a certain extent, is, you know, we need to look forward and talk about what we're going to do in the future. And if reelected to the council, I am going to be working on resolving a long-term solution to our traffic and our parking problems, especially downtown. I look forward to the completion of the recycled water project that will protect the water basin. It's this time of year. I would ask for your vote. Going forward, Pismo Beach can only get better.
Thank you. And Ms. Lossing.
Hi, my name is Deborah Lossing, and I want to thank you all for this time. I've lived and worked in the Pismo Beach Central Coast area pretty much all my life. I work for a major transportation carrier for over 25 years. I'm a real estate broker and a general contractor. And the reason why I'm running for city council is to serve our residents and to serve our small business owners. The objective of me running is to preserve the beautiful neighborhoods that we do have, but at the same time, bring in visitors for much needed revenue. I also want to address COVID-19 and make sure we're adhering to all the guidelines for our safety and protection, and so that we can get back to a normal sooner than later. Our residents and our small business owners all deserve to be heard. They deserve to be heard in a fair and consistent manner, And if there's any action or solutions that need to take place, they need to be done in a timely manner. I would appreciate your vote, but above all else, please make sure you're registered to vote. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And we'll begin our questions now. And Mr. Shadwell would begin with being the first answerer for question one.
Okay.
The question is,
yes,
what are the major issues facing Pismo Beach?
Well, I outlined a few of those, I think, in my opening comments. And these are, what I'm finding is that as I walk through neighborhoods and drop pieces of literature with my mask on and keep socially distanced, I keep hearing the same sorts of things. People are frustrated about the traffic snarls. They're frustrated about the lack of parking. They're frustrated about trash on the beaches. And frankly, they're also concerned about being overwhelmed by tourism and those folks, a lot of those people coming into town not wearing masks and not socially distanced. So they're concerned for their health and their safety. And I think we can go a long ways to solving lots of these problems with some fairly straightforward answers. I think, first of all, we need to institute a shuttle service that will get people out of their cars and move folks over to the Pismo Preserve, the downtown area, through Shell Beach. And I think we need to extend the bicycle path into the Grover Beach and Oceano areas and also hook up to San Luis Obispo and the Bob Jones Trail.
Thank you. Mr. Pritchard, what are the major issues in your opinion?
Yes, I believe I agree with Dan. The major issues in our neighborhoods are the negative side of tourism. I have been going door to door for months. I've talked to literally hundreds of people. There's a constant theme that runs through the residents in the issues that they have regarding their neighborhoods being flooded by people who don't live there. Other quality of life issues are speeding cars, a lack of maintenance, crumbling roads. People would like to see more enforcement of speeding laws, traffic calming in their neighborhoods. That's a big issue that we have tried to address. I mean, we talked about this a lot. It's basically just quality of life issues. We came here, many of us have worked all our lives to be here, and we came here with a certain expectation that we'd have a great quality of life, that we would have the habitability of our homes and the quiet use of them. Many times we have problems with noise, pollution, things that I said before, I won't belabor the fact, but basically, that's why I'm running. I want the city council to hear us. Many of my neighbors have despaired. I still have energy. I'm trying to make people listen and understand that they need to put the residents first in the future. If I was elected, I would put all consideration towards residents and any projects that we would undertake.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Guthrie?
Well, the major issues that I consider are the most important for Pismo are traffic, water, and parking. And parking contributes to the traffic. People circling around looking for a parking space just creates more congestion. Both the traffic and water were issues back in 2014, and they are still are issues, but the city is doing something about it. Our Central Coast Blue Wastewater Treatment Plant is critical, and it will help. We are partnering with Rio Grande and Grover Beach in solidifying our groundwater basin once this is up and running. That will help because all of our water sources are precipitation based and we don't have control of the rain, basically. So we have to control what we can. Traffic, we can't control Highway 101. 2035, they're not going to have, Caltrans will not have the money to widen the lane by then, but we can control our surface streets. And we, the city council updated our traffic circulation study so we could, I'll finish the sentence. So we have key points in the city where we, and suggestions from the traffic study that we will implement and are implementing. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Newton.
Yeah, the top three issues to be would be, of course, public safety, number one. water and traffic. And the reason why they're the top issues is the citizens don't feel that they're being addressed. We've talked about traffic for I don't know how many years. We've had studies over and over. We spent a lot of money. And so it's, I'd say our top issue really is it's frustration. And we just want to see things finally resolved versus completing more studies. The traffic issue is so bad that I actually consider it a public safety issue. And it's something that we can't wait 5-10 years for a parking structure, additional parking. We need to resolve it now and need to be looking at basically busing people in or other methods. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Howe.
Well, I would agree with Councilmember Guthrie regarding parking and water being the main issues. But I also think the development is going to be a major issue going forward. I grew up here. I graduated from Aurora Grande High School. I served on the school board for 17 years. And I'm concerned, especially in Shell Beach, that we will lose the charm of our city. And that will turn into a major quality of life issue if we allow unfettered development, the proliferation of short-term vacation rentals, and enormous commercial projects that are out of scope of bulk and community character. I think we need to collaboratively work on our local coastal plan and our general plan and decide what we want our city to look like in 10, 20, 30 years.
Thank you. Ms. Lessing? We're not hearing you.
Sorry about that. I would like to address the city of Pismo to be more pedestrian and bike friendly. I know that there's definitely improvement there, but there are still areas that are very unsafe to have a bike go through as well as walking. So I would like to see those areas that are unsafe to be made much safer by creating the safe bike lanes and pedestrian walkways. Another issue that we're all dealing with is COVID-19. COVID-19 is extremely serious worldwide, and it's really important that we adhere to the guidelines for the benefit of all. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Waggy.
Thank you very much. Yes, we do have several challenges remaining, and certainly we are trying to address them. As far as the traffic goes, I agree, it's a big problem. And I serve on SLOCOG, and widening Highway 101 is our top priority. I just recently met with top state officials to make the case for widening that, for adding an extra lane on Highway 101. If we get the financial go-ahead, we could get started in a couple of years. It's already pretty well planned and designed. As far as other top priorities, I'm leading the effort to build a new fire station. A new fire station will reduce response times by up to 1 minute. And when seconds count, it's very important to have that. My colleagues already mentioned Central Coast Blue. I'm leading the effort there. We've got $2.8 million in grants that I've advocated for from state and federal officials, and we expect to get much more money for that. As far as trash, I agree with all the takeout trash we've had. The city is much has a lot more trash, and we're going to address that at the next council meeting.
Thank you. Our second question, Mr. Pritchard, you will begin, and the question is, COVID-19 will likely decrease tourism income from sales and transient occupancy tax. What services would you cut from the budget next year to make up for those losses?
Hi, I heard Ed Waggy say the other night that we're not going to have a decline in income, and that actually the budget was looking pretty good. So I'm not sure any services need to be cut. I can't see cutting anything. I mean, I think the city's doing a great job as it is. As far as police and fire, things like that, I can't imagine that we wouldn't need to cut anything. In fact, I think things should be improved if we're in as good a shape as I heard. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Guthrie, your response. Well,
the city has weathered COVID fairly well without layoffs or, you know, and our reserve accounts are we're way over what we thought we'd be. We can't control the amount of people coming into town unless we close down Highway 101, 41, and 46. So what we're doing is trying to keep our residents. We have the lowest COVID rate in the county, in the South County. So we're trying to keep our residents safe. There's no need for cutbacks, but we are enhancing services to keep the city. We've increased trash pickup. We've increased our outdoor dining area. We've responded to every challenge that COVID has given us. So in a very positive manner, trying to keep our residents safe at the same time. So I don't think that we will have any kind of restrictions right now. We'll see what next year brings. You know, 2020 was a surprise, and I'm sure 2021 will have some challenges as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Newton?
Yeah, you know, Pismo Beach is a unique situation because we seem to be that always go-to travel destination. Even when the economy's bad, we're an inexpensive trip for a lot of California. I think that's why we see our TOT right now actually above last year's at this point. And because of our strong TOT, we've been able to always maintain a really generous reserve as well. I don't see us cutting, but if we had to, probably the first place I would be looking at is we spend $1.25 million a year on advertising. I think I'd want to know what that return on the dollar is. But you know, also long-term, we should not be making any quick judgments on where to cut because we need to think of COVID-19 not as a long-term problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Lossing?
I think that what we need to do is to continue on the same trajectory as far as COVID-19 is concerned. We need to make sure that we're enforcing all the guidelines, that all the small businesses are following those guidelines. And with that enforced, we can continue to open up our businesses. And as mentioned before, we have a very low rate. So we need to continue in that path. And right now, as from what I understand, we are not in any sort of a deficit. So if we continue going that direction, which will be very positive, then in 2021, we won't be having those shortcomings.
Thank you. And Mr. Waggie?
Yes, our finances are in great shape. We cut back considerably when COVID first struck, and that really helped us when things turned around. We have significant reserves, have $5.5 million in reserves, other set asides, another about $3.5 million. And we had $4 million in our checking account at the end of the fiscal year. So we're in quite good shape. I would not cut anything at this time. And certainly we are going to spend some more money to help clean up the city. As far as COVID goes, as Marcia mentioned, we do have the lowest COVID per capita infection rate in the South County. And I want to make sure we keep it that way. I want to make sure we continue to enforce the mask ordinance and other social distancing requirements so we can continue to be safe. If we are a safe destination, I think our economy will continue to be doing just fine.
Thank you. And Mr. Shadwell?
Well, I think it's important to think about how we maintain our strength heading into the COVID season, to the cold and flu season. And I think one of the first things that we should be doing, and I think we should have done before, was enact a broad ordinance that requires mask wearing and social distancing outside as well as inside. Right now we have basically the shopkeepers and the waiters and waitresses having to police the mask wearing and the social distancing, and I think that puts them in a terrible position. They have to choose between a good tip and public health. I think we ought to enact a broad mandate so that those employees, as well as everybody else, including public safety officials, can then say to tourists and people who are visiting, listen, we don't want you to face a stiff fine. We want you to help protect yourself as well as the residents here. so that we make sure that we keep our economy strong and we don't have to worry about cutting services.
Thank you. Now, the third question will begin with Ms. Guthrie. And the question is, what strategies would you use to balance tourism with the needs of local residents?
Okay, I'd be happy to answer that question, but you missed Eric Howell on the last question in case you'd like him to answer that.
I did. Mr. Howell, I'm
thank
so
you,
sorry.
Thank you, Councilmember Guthrie. I was beginning to think that in the interest of time, we were skipping over me.
No, that was totally my error. I'm sorry.
I am happy to answer that question. The mayor is correct. Pismo Beach finances are solid. And, you know, fiscal responsibility doesn't just happen by accident. The council has been very prudent in setting money aside and keeping our staff levels down. We've paid down the state pensions when we've had the opportunity to do so. And the reason why our TOT has held up, for my personal opinion, is because our hospitality partners have been safe. They've enacted safe rules in their establishments. People are wearing masks. They're requiring people to wear masks as they come into their restaurants, as they're coming into their lobbies. They've got the plastic separators. And as Councilmember Guthrie mentioned, we've got the lowest coronavirus rate of infection in the South County. Pismo Beach has not touched its economic downturn reserves, and I am cautiously optimistic that if we continue to make prudent decisions, our budget will stay in the black.
Thank you. Ms. Guthrie, I will repeat the question for you. What strategies would you use to balance tourism with the needs of local residents?
Well, we have been doing that, and the face mask ordinance, first and foremost, was very important to me. Unfortunately, we had to put it the onus on the business owners because the district attorney in his press conference stated that he would not prosecute COVID-related citations. So our only choice to enforce the mask ordinance was to put the onus on the businesses. And it has not been a hardship. We have bought masks, we bought sanitizers, we've tried to help as much as we can. And social distancing marking on the sidewalks, our infection rate in Pismo Beach is a pretty clear statement on how safe our residents have been keeping. And so it's a balancing act, and I think the city has done a very good job in responding to this virus. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Newton?
Yeah, I'd say when we let the negative impacts of tourism rob from the quality of life from our residents, we know things are out of balance. The general blame is, you know, directed at the tourists. However, the city does share a great responsibility here as well. The city's top revenue source is our TOT tax. And it's the city's role to use a portion of those funds to not only reduce the harmful effects of tourism, but to enhance the entire city so that our entire community sees a benefit. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Howell.
Thank you. I think that the city has done a very good job at balancing the needs of the tourists with the needs of the residents. So very often they are the same thing. So, you know, tourists have paid for the Pismo Preserve. Tourists have paid for the new pier. Tourists have paid for a huge portion of the streetscape. Tourists have paid for the plaza. And tourists, to a huge extent, allow us to have the public safety services that really are second to none. You know, we staff for fire and we staff for police for the 50,000 people that we have on weekends in Pismo Beach every summer. So I think that Pismo has done a good job and will continue to do a good job in investing in public services so that can be used by both residents and tourists.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Lossing?
In reference to the COVID-19 and the safety aspect of it, I think that there needs to be a little more enforcement. I see a situation when going to the beaches. I've mentioned this before. There's many crowds of people that go down on our small beaches and they don't socially distance, and they gather in larger and larger groups. So I think for the safety of our residents with the tourists, that there would be a little more enforcement on the beaches. As I think these large groups of people think that no one's seeing them, that nobody's going to do anything about it because they're just simply down on the beach. So I think it's important to have more enforcement that way, whether it's the police department or another way, but I do think that that's one thing that we could do to keep our residents safe and even the tourists safe as well.
Thank you. Mr. Waghi?
Thank you. Yes, I think with respect to the COVID, one thing to keep in mind is that the city has limited authority to do very much in the terms of the ability to legislate requirements for our public, but the county health officer does. The real responsibility under state law for pandemic enforcement resides with the county health officer, not the cities. And ever since the COVID crisis hit, the county health officer has been having regular meetings with all the mayors and the county supervisors. And what we've been doing is try to craft strategies that will allow us to go about our business as much as possible, but primarily to protect everybody, residents and tourists alike, from the ravages of the COVID. And thus far, I think our strategies have been working pretty well. I think Councilmember Howell said, gave a list of things we've done in the city because we've got the revenue from our tourism.
Thank you. Mr. Shadwell?
Yes, I'd like to pick up on something that Mr. Waghi just said. I think actually that the city does in fact have the ability to enforce in somewhat more strict fashion than the county health dictates. You do have the opportunity to enact a broad ordinance that would require everybody to comply. Enforcement, I think you can pick and choose how you want to do that. It doesn't have to all be stick. You can also suggest through conversation, listen, we don't want you to be fined, but we need to keep our residents safe here. I'd also like to pick up on something else that Ms. Lossing mentioned too, which I think is important. I think we need to make sure that we have more police and officers involved in community policing so that when we do have big holiday weekends and large summer crowds, that we are visible and that tourists recognize that, you know, if they're throwing trash on the streets, they're liable to get a ticket. I think we do feel, and I keep hearing this from other residents, that we're a little overwhelmed. In fact, a lot overwhelmed, particularly on the busy weekends. Lots of people don't even want to go downtown. And as beautiful as it is, what good is it if the residents just have to avoid it because of the crowds and the traffic and the trash and everything else? I think these are basic problems that other communities have solved, and I think we can do a better job of that.
Thank you. And Mr. Pritchard.
Yes, hi. I would like to see, first off, a separation of parking between residents and tourists. Many residents feel that they live in a parking lot for tourists. I think a good way to do that would be to have a residential-only parking ordinance enforced created and enforced in the streets west of 101. Many people there are cramped by lack of parking. They have difficulty when they come home from work, things like that. I have a petition now of 450 people who would love to have it. I hope to have it someday, have it on the ballot so we can vote for it. As when we approached the city council last year, we were denied, and that was the first time I heard, if we did it for you, we'd have to do it for everybody. I would like to look at installing parking rides along the freeway exits, combined with bike paths so that people could park their cars and get on their bikes and ride around. That would cut down on the cars. I'd like to enforce the codes and laws that are already on the books, enforce a mask ordinance, enforce laws against noise, trash, and trash nuisances, have zero tolerance policy for public drinking and drug use, provide increased responsiveness to complaints about short-term rentals. That's a big one I've heard going door to door. Short-term rentals are a nuisance in many residential neighborhoods, and it's another source of anxiety on residents created by tourists. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question, Mr. Newton will begin with, and the question is, do you believe Central Coast Blue is a major issue, and do you support continuing efforts to complete this project?
Central Coast Blue is almost an essential project. We legally will not be able to do the practice that we do now, where we do dump our water out in the ocean anyway. However, for value for the dollar, I don't know why we're not doing other ways to reduce our water usage so that we're not relying on so much water. We should be doing swap out programs for shower heads, toilets, not acting like our water is an endless resource just because we got the gift of state water here. We should treat every ounce like it's precious. But with Central Coast Blue, absolutely, it's a long-term necessity and a good investment.
Thank you. Mr. Howell?
Thank you. I am 100% in support of Central Coast Blue. We will not be allowed to continue to dump water into the ocean, and we shouldn't be dumping water into the ocean. It's a valuable resource. We need to recycle it. We need to use Central Coast Blue to protect the aquifer. And this is a good collaborative effort between the city of Pismo Beach, which I'm proud to say took the lead on this project, Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach. It's really the only good long-term solution for our water supply and to protect us from the droughts that are bound to come as we see more climate change.
Thank you. Ms. Lawson.
Yes, I also very much do support Central Blue. I'm a big believer in sustainability. I have learned a little bit more about other avenues of bringing in water, but those can even be more expensive than this particular project, Central Blue. So I 100% do support Central Blue.
Thank you. Mr. Waggy?
Yes, I touched on Central Coast Blue earlier. I do support it. As I mentioned a little bit, the reason why we went forward with Central Coast Blue is we came close to losing two sources of our water. And I vowed that we needed to have an additional sustainable source, and we've got the recycled water program. I mentioned also briefly that funding for this will be in large part, hopefully, with grants. I've already traveled to Washington, D.C., to Sacramento, and to advocate with legislators and grant funding agencies for funding. We thus far have $2.8 million in planning grants. The real money will come in when we get the perhaps $10 million or more for construction grants. As I say, I've been meeting with grant funding agencies. We've been very successful. I will continue to work toward funding, getting more grant funds to reduce the impact on our residents.
Thank you. Mr. Shadwa?
Yes, I support Central Coast Blue. I think it's a good idea. I do have some reservations. I think we really need to watch the costs on that. I've heard estimates that it may range somewhere between $32 and $42 million. And I think we want to make sure that we're keeping a close eye on that. I also think that it's very important that we make sure that the jobs go to folks here in the community so that we continue to support the economy here. And this is a classic project that could really help across a broad range of different jobs. This could really help the economy. In addition to that, though, I think we also need to make sure that we continue to get as much of the state water allotment as possible. And I think we also need to be adding to that efforts to capture rainwater that lands on the roofs that otherwise just heads into the storm drains and creates problems, frankly, in the Shell Beach Road or in the Shell Beach area, specifically on some of the local streets that come off of Shell Beach Road. So I think it should be part of a broader plan.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Pritchard.
Yes, hi. Yes, I am in support of it. That is a project that's underway, so it's hard to comment on it. Aspect I like about it is preventing saltwater intrusion from getting into our drinking water. I think in combination with that, we should also have conservation measures. We should educate our residents on conserving water, doing what they can so that we don't need so much in the future. And I would also be in favor of rain barrel usage, cisterns, and gray water systems. I think those all be great additions in the future to homes to so people could get their own water, keep it, and use it for various duties, things that they need water for. Cisterns are common in many countries around the world and for good reason. Thank you.
Thank you. And finally, Ms. Guthrie.
Yes, I'm in full support of Central Coast Blue. It's essential for our communities, Grover in Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach in Arroyo Grande, as well, because we all use the groundwater basin at times for our water. The city during the drought very aggressively had a program educating our residents, and we actually cut back on our water usage. It is gold, and we conveyed that to our residents. This is valuable commodity, and we cut back by 25%. And we actually did offer programs that gave rebates back for waterless toilets, low water usage landscape, multitude of things, shower heads replacement, and we had people that took us up on it, that replaced their landscape, that replaced all their toilets and their shower head fixtures. We had great success in cutting back our water. The residents of Pismo are very conscientious and responsible, and I was very proud of the way our city reacted and the residents reacted by cutting back our water usage. And so, yes, I support Central Coast, full support of Central Coast Blue. Thank you.
Thank you. And for question five, Mr. Howell will begin. And the question is, do you think there are ways to address climate change locally?
Thank you. I do believe so, 100%. I'm proud of the city for doing issuing energy bonds to put solar panels at the yard, to make our heating and our electricity more energy efficient. I'm proud that we joined Central Coast Power, previously Monterey Power, and I look forward to investments from the savings to residents going into local projects that will allow residents to put solar panels on and come up with other ways to conserve electricity and fight climate change.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Lawson?
Yes, I agree with the solar panels. I know that there's other cities around us that are implementing the solar panels and making it a requirement. I think that that's one direction to go as well. And I also think that we need to be driving less and less gasoline-powered cars, and we need to be focusing more on electric cars. And I think those two are just the beginning of helping in regard to combating our climate change.
Thank you. Mr. Waggie?
Thank you. Yes. When we had a goal setting meeting a few years ago, I was the one who initiated the effort to get the city to go solar and also to retrofit our facilities. We've done so. We have a 700 kilowatt solar panel thus far with batteries. We've all of our buildings are energy efficient. We've upgraded the wastewater treatment plant to make it more energy efficient. We've put in EV charging stations at City Hall, the Pier Plaza, and the Corporation Yard. Personally, I installed solar panels on my roof 12 years ago, one of the first to do so in Pismo Beach. Councilmember Hall mentioned the Central Coast Power Authority. We've got renewable energy coming from that source. And I think we need just to continue our efforts to as we move forward.
Thank you. Mr. Shadwa.
Yes, well, I'm a big proponent of the measures that we should all be taking to combat climate change. Solar panels, obviously, are a baseline. We ought to be doing that. I think we ought to be adding electric charging stations in the downtown and Shell Beach area to encourage people to be converting to electric vehicles. Central Coast Power, I think that was a good switch. I think that's a good option to allow consumers to move to a more sustainable power system, power structure. I think we ought to explore more geothermal to basically get water preheated from the ground before we use it in our water heaters. And one of the things that we mentioned earlier about the trolleys, I think we ought to be really looking at mass transit. And this is one of the obvious things that would not only benefit us as residents and keep us from being overwhelmed by tourists, but it would help lower our carbon footprint in general. So if we have electric trolleys moving people into the Shell Beach and the downtown areas and getting them out of their gasoline-powered cars, that'll move us a long way to cutting our carbon footprint as well.
Thank you. Mr. Pritchard?
Yes, I think there are some things we can do. We can work on our energy efficiency, try to find ways to save energy. There's many ways to do that. Providing clean power through Central Coast Power. Consider adopting more aggressive optional measures in the California Green Building Code. Continue to encourage residents to install solar panels. Something I've thought about along these lines, and it would have to be done at a state level, is I've seen where some other states have completely deregulated their energy industries, and the consumer has many choices, not just two, like we're going to have here, it seems. You can opt for companies that compete against each other to provide renewable energy. It's some states that I've seen, you actually have a dizzying array of companies that you can choose from. I'd like to see something here that would encourage development of renewable energy, and it would also provide a boost to consumers by giving them more options and maybe saving a few bucks along the line. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Guthrie?
Yeah, well, the city, a lot of this has been mentioned, but of course the Central Coast Power is a very important addition to the city residents. And it is a choice, and I'm glad to have the choice because we didn't have that previously. We have been putting, as Mayor Waage stated, we have been putting EV charging stations in appropriate places throughout the area, and we'll continue to add to it. As hopefully the cost of electric vehicles will be coming down. And I do think that is the future. Of course, the Governor Newsom has basically said that is going to be our future. And sometimes that's what needs to be done to get us there. The solar panels that we put in the city yard will also help with the electric use on the Central Coast Blue. So, and I encourage, you know, people that want to put solar, they now have roof tiles that are solar conductors. So it's getting easier and easier to implement that. So as we go forward, I would like to see more green building standards put in our city mandatory requirements for building.
Thank you. And Mr. Newton.
Yeah, you know, I think we all agree that, you know, solar panels are great for the city. Oh, we agree we need more charging stations. But the reality is our biggest polluter here that we have full control over is traffic. And we continue to ignore it. We just keep doing studies. But if we want to really make a large change now, that's what we need to do. We need to basically have a busing system in place or some type of trolley system. And that's something we could have going within a year. So while these other things are great add-ons, I think we need to hit the biggest monster of all, and that's our traffic congestion.
Okay, thank you. And for question six, I'm going to begin with Ms. Lawson. The question is, what steps can the city take to encourage the growth of minority-owned businesses and residents and to further diversify and promote inclusion in Pismo Beach?
Well, I do. We all know that, you know, our cities are all based off of demographics, and we definitely do need to bring more diversity into the city of Pismo Beach. I think opening the door for all and being welcoming and showing others that we want more diversity in the area, not just by words, but by actions, will encourage this. I know that here we are over very close to San Luis Obispo, and San Luis Obispo is very much proponent of diversity. And I think that the city of Pismo needs to really follow that example and encourage more diversity in our area.
Thank you. Mr. Waggy?
Thank you. I agree. A diverse society is a stronger society. One thing that I did early on was to try to, as I walk around downtown pre-COVID at least, when we had visitors from the Valley and elsewhere of Hispanic or Black, I would approach them and welcome the city to try to be more welcoming to our area. I think a big issue too is policing, and I'm proud that our police department is accredited by CALEA, the Commission on Accreditation of Law Enforcement Agencies. CALEA was formed to help police departments do a much better job, and the standards are much higher, and we are meeting those requirements, and we have achieved the top 5% of those accredited. We can do more. I think we certainly need to be listening to the community to see how we can better support, especially new businesses. And I would definitely support that.
Thank you. Mr. Shadwell?
Well, I'd like to pick up on something that Mr. Waggy just mentioned. I think one of the things that AG, that Arroyo Grande, has done well recently has been an examination of its community policing policies and cultural sensitivity training. And I think that's something that we ought to continue to look at. On top of that, though, I think structurally, one of the greatest ways to begin to include some diversity in our interactions is to invite the arts in. And we don't really have performing arts spaces in the city. And if you think about the area right by the pier, that would have been an ideal place for a bandstand, where we have surface parking and some of the most expensive property in the whole city. So I would like to push for opportunities for more green space, for more cultural activities, for more performing arts, and an opportunity for people to experience something beyond just what we know. And frequently that's such a great gateway to get to know our neighbors and folks of different backgrounds. So I would like to encourage that. And then again, green space, I think as when we get a chance to get out and meet each other, I think we learn things about each other that might not have come to the surface otherwise. So I think part of this has to do with communication and interaction and opening conversations in places where the arts can interact.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Pritchard.
Yeah, hi. I believe that the city has been very welcoming to people of all diversities, or all, of all people in general. I think it's a very welcoming city. How to encourage diversity? I agree with Mr. Shadwell. Maybe we can have more cultural events, bring people here. We do have a less than diverse demographic. I don't believe we're actively discouraging diversity. I mean, it is what it is. If we could get more people to come here, I believe the question also had to do with diversity in business. We could possibly institute some mentoring programs to bring people in, maybe underprivileged youth from different neighborhoods who could work with shop owners, business owners to learn a trade. I think that could be helpful. We could encourage just people to be more outreaching to help others to come here and enjoy the city. But I think the city is very open and welcoming and would consider anything that would help other people. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ms. Guthrie?
Well, I agree with everything that's been said so far, the suggestions, and I also think that by acknowledging our lack of diversity here is really the first step in seeking solutions, because I know that there are programs that that have been very successful in other areas that have helped and encouraged different business ownership, or like the mentoring program. I just think there is more that the city could be doing. But I also want to acknowledge in our hiring practices that, say, our police department, we've got women police officers, we've got police officers of color, we've got it's a very diverse in our we are very diverse in our own hiring with the city. So I think it starts there, but I think we could be doing a lot more. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Newton.
Yeah, you know, the challenge is, the reality is, we don't have a diverse city to begin with. So it's very easy to say that we're not inclusive. But I will say that, you know, we have bigger barriers here. I mean, we have a cost of living, home prices that are pretty much out of range for everybody, any family. So our lack of diversity goes all the way down to not having young families. So, you know, what can the city do? That's not a simple, there's no simple answer for that. But I will say, you know, regarding how do we welcome more businesses and encourage diversity there is, you know, the city should be looking at how we can do leadership training where everybody feels welcome, where they come in and they participate with City Hall, or we give them people to team up with in the community that are business leaders. And the other thing the city could do is actually be more welcoming to cultural events and reach out to them and see if we can get them to take part in our community and host their special events. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Howell.
Thank you. First and foremost, I think it's important that you make diversity a priority. I'm proud that Pismo Beach now has a more diverse workforce and more diversity on our advisory boards than we have ever had. I also think it's important that if we're going to be a successful tourist destination in the future, and there will be a future, the pandemic will be over and we will continue to be an attractive place to come. We need to have our marketing be geared towards the markets of the future. So that means more diversity in our advertising. That means reaching out to different communities and encouraging them to come here in the future.
Thank you. Well, I think we've reached the end of our time. And once again, the League of Women Voters would like to thank South County Chambers of Commerce for sponsoring this event. We also want to thank each of the candidates for mayor and for city council for their participation. But especially, we want to thank the viewers who submitted questions. Due to time constraints, unfortunately, we were unable to ask all the wonderful questions that we received. In closing, I ask that everyone make sure that your voter registration is up to date. All registered voters will receive a mail-in ballot this year. There will also be in-person voting, but locations will be limited this year. For more information, I recommend votersedge.org, a very useful resource to educate yourself on the candidates and measures on your ballot. And please vote and encourage your family and friends to do so also. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Beth. Thank you to all the council members. I just wanted to remind everyone that this recording will be available probably in the next 30 minutes on all the different channels. You can feel free to share that. If you are an attendee and you didn't get your question answered tonight, we will be posting the campaign sites for each of the candidates so you can reach out to them directly with additional questions. And thank you so much again to the participants and to the League of Women Voters. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.